Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 1030. Lord, what a wretched, wretched heart I feel from day to day, vile and unsound in every part. Subdue it, Lord, I pray. 1030.
Help us to read the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions. And join them one together into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, teach us of thy holiness, of thy majesty, of thy infinity, to tremble. And Lord, favour us to rejoice too, to rejoice with trembling. Teach us, Lord, to bow now at thy feet. Lord, the feet of thy dear Son, who has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, Lord, we pray to be brought to God, to thee this night, through thy dear Son. Oh, Lord, we pray, we may be favoured with a believing view of him by faith. Lord, that we might be favoured to behold him, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, do bless us as we meet together then. We thank thee for thy mercies to us to this moment, and the mercies through which we gather now, and under which we gather. The mercy, Lord, of thy kind providence, thy long-suffering, sparing mercy. The mercy, Lord, of what this place sets forth. The house of God, thy dear Son, we thank thee for thy word, Lord, that we have. We ask thy blessing upon it. We pray tonight that thy word may be made by thee to us a living word. Lord, in whatsoever way thou seest we need, to quicken the dead in sins, to convince of sin, and Lord, to inspire that living faith in the hearts of sensible sinners, to look unto Christ. For thou hast said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. O Lord, we pray for this people, that thou hast blessed them indeed. Lord, that thou wouldst say unto their souls, I am thy salvation. Lord, that thou would save them and call them with that holy calling, not according to their works, but according to thy abundant mercy and everlasting love and sovereign election. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant them thy Holy Spirit to quicken and to teach, to lead and to guide, to apply the blood of thy Son, to apply the promises, the word of God, to shed abroad the love of God, Lord, to seal and witness with thy people that they are thine and thou art theirs. We pray, Lord, for help for them each in the path they now walk. Lord, that thou wouldst cause all things to work together for our good. Lord, that thou wouldst make us watch and pray continually. Lord, that thou wouldst enable us to keep looking up. Lord, what solemn days in which we live. And what a solemn scene is within too. And where shall we look among the sons of men? Lord, it is vain to put our confidence in the best of them. For the best of them is as a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. O Lord, we thank thee for thy dear Son, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. Grace is poured into his lips. He is fairer than the sons of men. O Lord, we thank thee for the fairness of Christ, the altogether loveliness, the beauty, the excellency. Lord, there is salvation in none other. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Fulfill thy word even to us assembled here tonight. They shall know my name. Oh, may we know thy name tonight. Reveal it to us, Lord. Holy Spirit of truth, pronounce that name. All the sinners might, by thy Spirit, say that name tonight, as they hear it tonight, as they have never heard it before, or in renewal as they have heard it before. Lord, in a fuller measure than they have heard it before, to know thee more than they've ever known thee before. And Lord, this will be the need of thy people till they see thee as thou art and know thee as thou art. Oh Lord, we pray, make us right. If we are deceived, Lord, do undeceive us. Lord, make us right and keep us right. Do not leave us to any false faith, any false hope, any false comfort. Lord, we pray for reality. Lord, there is nothing real but in thee. Sin has ruined everything. Here below has ruined us. Lord, we have sinned. We do sin. Lord, we come short. The good that we would, we do not. The evil that we would not, that we do. But Lord Jesus, thou didst ever do that which pleased thy Father. Oh, do impute that to us, we pray. Help us, Lord, help sinners tonight to look away, Lord, from themselves. There's no hope there. And look away from creatures. There's no hope there. And look to the Creator who was made man and hung upon the cross at Calvary and died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring them to God. He who died and rose again and hath ascended into heaven and sympathizing high priest, having been tempted in all points like his people are, yet without sin. Succour thy tempted people, Lord. Oh, bless them with faith. That's what succours, Lord, when thou dost give them faith in thyself. Oh, what a defence against the adversary, the shield of faith whereby we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, we pray for those who are tonight feelingly such an easy target for the adversary's darts. Lord, lead them, blessed Spirit, tonight to that place where no one of those darts will hit them. Lead them to the rock that is higher than they. Be a refuge to them. Hide them in that cleft rock. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest. Lord, we pray then, help this people. Glorify thy name in this place, in the salvation of sinners, and the restoration of backsliders. And Lord, the building up of thy people. Oh Lord, we pray for thy people here and wherever thou hast a people in the earth, that gracious building up. How often thy people feel like the hymn writer, the ruins of my soul repair, and make my heart a house of prayer. Lord, we pray for it, for ourselves and for Zion. The ruins, Lord, the boar out of the wood hath wasted. Lord, the damage that sin has done, the destruction. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. My people, thou said, are destroyed for want of knowledge. Lord, we pray. Oh, grant knowledge, saving knowledge. The knowledge of thy dear Son. The knowledge of the truth. He is the truth. Lord, we pray then, grant that going on to know the Lord. Oh Lord, we pray for that perseverance. Lord, when any turn from Zion's ways, alas, what numbers do. Methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too, alas, with such a heart as mine, unless thou hold me fast. I fear I shall decline, prove like them at last. Lord, hold us up. Make us to persevere. We thank thee for the doctrine of the perseverance, the final perseverance. There's our only hope. Make it our only plea. But Lord, we want it in experience. Lord, then be with us. We pray for the families, thou hast helped them each. Guide and protect and keep. Lord, grant the fear of the Lord in each one's heart. Fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. To hate evil is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we pray that thou hast make a right way for those who seek it. Lord, lead in the right way. Lord, that thou wouldst confirm thy people that they're in the right way, in their providences, but especially in their souls. We pray, Lord, that thou hast made the mountains a way, thy mountains, thou hast said, thou make a way. Lord, help those who are in that path where there are such mountains. Help them to commit those mountains to Thee. For Lord, Thy people's mountains are Thine. Lord, do enable us then to commit them to Thee. Lord, for Thou hast said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Lord, we pray that Thou hast undertaken. Lord, help. Remember our friends away. Grant Thy blessing upon them. Bless the time away to the good of their souls, and the good of their bodies and minds. O Lord, may they know spiritual rest, the rest of faith in Christ. Lord, and that rest for their bodies. Lord, oh, we pray, bring us to that eternal rest that remaineth to the people of God. Forgive all we ask amiss. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 227. From whence this fear and unbelief? Hast Thou, O Father, put to grief Thy spotless Son for me? And will the righteous Judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged on Thee? 227.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. The last clause of verse 19. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 19. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And they shall be one in mine hand. This is the promise of the Lord, not only unto Israel and Judah, but unto the whole Church of God, to individuals, and to the Church of God as a whole, that the Lord will blessedly bring about effect that wonderful unity. And of course, that unity is in Christ. So this is where I would desire to begin to speak to you this evening. The Lord here promises in this word, and they shall be one in mine hand. The Lord's hand, the hand of God, by which he effects this, is his Son. Indeed, it is by him that he effects all things. He made all things by his Son. He upholds all things by his Son. And he saves all his people by his Son. His kingdom is the kingdom of his Son. As we read later in this chapter, David, of course, when Ezekiel was given this prophecy, King David, that is the son of Jesse, was dead. He'd been long dead. So the Lord here refers to David's greater son, Jesus Christ, a prince, a shepherd, a king over them. They shall be one in mine hand. But we need to consider why they weren't one. Why weren't these tribes one? God had separated them. God had separated them. Why had he separated them? Because of their sin. King Solomon, a man of God, and yet mysteriously, he so grossly and grievously sinned against his God. Oh, that answer he obtained when the Lord bade him ask what he would give him, and the Lord taught him to ask for wisdom. And the Lord gave it to him. But then he evidently withheld it. Oh, my dear friend, what a warning to us each. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And what does it show? It shows this. The Lord's people are completely and continually dependent upon the Lord. It says this, God never gives a stock of grace. Peter thought he'd got a stock of grace, but he hadn't. Solomon probably thought he got a stock of grace, but he hadn't. The storehouse is Christ. And you and I, my dear friend, have need of the power of the Spirit upon us to humble us from all our pride. You know, even when we receive God's gifts, our hearts are so wicked they can be lifted up with pride, even with God's gifts. Joseph Hart says, the heart uplifts with God's own gifts, amazing grace a snare. If you think God has blessed me, I shall never fall, you're mistaken. Pride cometh before a fall, and an haughty spirit before destruction. But you see, it was in punishment of Solomon's sin. God kindly said to Solomon he wouldn't do it in his day, but he did it in the day of his son. He separated Israel and Judah. He put a rent. And when God puts a rent somewhere, it can't be repaired by man. No. God told Solomon by whom it would be done, and Solomon tried to slay that man so it wouldn't be done. But he failed, because God had said it would happen. God had said it would come to pass. And it doesn't matter how hard you and I try, we shall never stop God doing what he says he will do. Whether that be in chastisement, in punishment, in correction, or in blessing, in salvation, in building up. So it is the cause of this need of being made one is sin. But, you see, it is as God makes known the rent. He says, doesn't he, concerning the personal sins of his people, mine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Mine ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God and have hid his face from you. You know, my dear friend, if you have sinned, and you have, John says, if we say we sin not, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We make God a liar. But if you're his, you see, God will make the rent. The Lord killeth, said Hannah, and raiseth up and maketh alive. He bringeth down and lifteth up. Come and let us return unto the Lord, says the prophet. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath broken and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he will come unto us as the early and latter rain in his season. Oh, perhaps there is one here this evening and the Lord has torn you. And it feels tonight as though that tear will never be healed. The Lord has spoken a word into your heart that's torn it to pieces. It's a solemn thing. There's nothing more terrifying. Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When the Lord's word comes with divine power, a sword of the Spirit dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But I tell you, my dear friend, the Lord never does that but what he intends to heal. But you see, it will be spoken oftentimes in such a way as for a time you cannot see any hope. The word seems so final. The word seems to be to put you in such a hopeless condition. It is final. It is hopeless. What is it final and hopeless concerning? All hope in yourself. All hope in you being saved by works. All hope in you being saved by your own righteousness. All hope of you getting to heaven in carpet slippers. It's final, it's finished that. My dear friend, it is when man's hope is slain that Jesus Christ appears. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Consider that previous vision that Ezekiel had in the chapter we've read. Can these dry bones live? Lo, they were very dry. And God said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. When the sinner, coming back to my text, is made to feel by God the awful separation there is between them and God. The awful separation. Paul says to the Ephesians, and ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Not you who sometimes were near, but you who sometimes are far off. God doesn't say to the people who are near, look unto me. He says unto those that are at the ends of the earth, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. But look at what this word says. They shall be one in mine hand. Only he can make that one which was two. Only he can bring a sinner to be one with him, one with God. That's what the text means. This is no unity of the flesh the Lord is speaking of here. This is the unity of the Spirit. My dear friend, God never works with his hand. Unity of the flesh, that's the work of the devil. The work of God's hand is the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And how is it? Well, the thing that has caused the division must be overcome. And the thing that has caused the division is the sin. They shall be one in mine hand. God will put away the sins. God will put away the sins. The rent is the expression, the manifestation of his wrath. The bringing together, the making one, is the manifestation and the work of his mercy and of his grace. What an awful thing if any of us here this evening were left to live and die and never know the fulfillment of this text. Never to be made one with God. If we are not made one with God, we shall be eternally separated from him. Eternally and infinitely separated. And going to chapel doesn't make you one with God. Good works don't make you one with God. Your head full of religion doesn't make you one with God. You say, well then what does make a sinner one with God? When God works that in their heart, in his hand. And what is it? He blesses them with a living faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes a man one with God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in his hand. No condemnation. Why? Because the one in whom they are, by faith, by the Spirit's work, the manifestation of the eternal union effected by God before time began, he has put away their sins. He has blotted them out as a thick cloud. They shall be one in mine hand. One. John 17, the Lord Jesus' prayer unto his Father before he entered Gethsemane. That they may be one in us. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. They shall be one in mine hand. The hand speaks of his work. In that hand that convicts that one that they are not one with God. In that hand that makes that one long to be one with God. How many of you here this evening really can say, I long to be one with God? Those of you that can, you're in God's hand. You wouldn't long to be one with God unless you're in his hand. You must be born again to be one, to want to be one with God. You must be born again and convinced by his Spirit to realize the awfulness of not being one with him, the painfulness, the dissatisfaction, the misery. They shall be one in mine hand. The Lord will teach them the way. In the Lord's hand, his people are taught the way whereby they shall be made one with God. We have that word that speaks of our solemn condition by nature. They know not the way to the city. They know not the way to the city. But in God's hand they shall know the way to the city. But you see, it's in God's hand which sends forth power. How many times have you read that word and you may have heard it preached from and quoted? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But my dear friend, have you come to the Father by him? That's the point. A well-known text, but how well-known is it in the experience of it? Not very well-known, is it? Not very well-known. To come unto the Father, they shall be one. There is one God and one mediator, not two, but one. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is the blessed way. Sinners are made one with God. Job speaks of him as a daysman who can put his hand upon us both. Because in the person of Christ, there is two natures. He is man, the holy man. He is God, the holy Son of God in one person. He was made man that he should make men one with God. That law that man has broken, it must be fulfilled by man. No one but a man could fulfill that law. But not one of Adam's race could fulfill it. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. They shall be one in mine hand. You see, however hard you try in your fallen nature, you'll never find a way to God. You try, I know you try. I know what it is to try. And what a wretched thing it is to have a nature that is trying to be religious all the time. Bernard Gilpin said, after he is called by grace, oh, it makes me tremble to realize how much of an Arminian I am now. But we never shall. Oh, but that glorious person in whom the Church of God is one with God. My dear friend, Christ doesn't come and repair your nature. No. This nature in which a sinner is one with God is not a repaired human nature. No. William Romaine said he took my nature that I might receive his nature. Oh, sinner, that's how a person is made one with God. Lions and beasts of savage name, put on the nature of the Lamb. The world looks on, gazes and admires. You see, in the days of the Lord's ministry here on this earth, the world looked on and they couldn't deny what Jesus did. He was so plain, it was so clear. When the Gadarene is completely different to what he was before. Before he was dwelling in the tombs, cutting himself with stones. No chains could tame him, hold him down. And he's found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And the people saw it. They gazed and admired, but they hated the change. Why did they hate the change? You may say, how could anyone possibly hate the change? How could anyone possibly hate it that a person who was mad before is now sane? They hated it because Jesus had done it. The Gadarene desired the Lord that he might be with him. But Jesus said, no, go and tell your friends. But the people in the Gadarene's country, they didn't say, Lord, stay with us. They said, Lord, depart out of our coast. Why? Why was it that Gadarene, that saved man, he was made one with God by the ministry of Jesus Christ? He had a new heart, a new spirit. He had love in his heart. The love of God put in his heart. The love of Christ shed abroad there. Oh, he was blessed with the nature of Christ. They shall be one in mine hand. Oh, sinner, in the hand of him who hung upon Calvary's cross. You know it was the cross that put that Gadarene where it put him. The devil conquered by the cross of Jesus Christ. The Gadarene sins put away by the blood shed on that cross. New life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That man was dead and he now lives. How? Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. They shall be one in mine hand. Oh, sinner. The one tonight who feels so separated from God by your sins. The one who tonight feels they're heading for hell because of their sins. What does God set forth here when he says, they shall be one in mine hand? God will do it. God will do it. What is the effect of this when a person is in his hand, even with respect to hearing the word of the promise? The sinner begins to plead the promise. When God says to this far off sinner, you cannot bring yourself nigh. You cannot get near me. This sinner who's broken his law, you cannot keep it. You cannot keep it. This sinner whose sins are like a mountain, an infinite mountain, you cannot put one of them away. But God says, I will do it. I will do it. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. How? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. They shall be one. Blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against them. Nailing it to his cross. They shall be one. That great breach made by sin. Oh, that solemn condition that needs at one man. That word atonement. What better explanation is there of it than if you split the word up and look at it like this, at one man. At one man. The great atonement. When Jesus Christ, God's co-equal and co-eternal Son, suffered, bled and died on Calvary's cross. Sinner, what are you trying to do tonight to make atonement? Everything you're trying to do tonight to make atonement is not only completely useless, completely ineffectual, is derogatory to Christ and therefore derogatory to the Father. His word is this: poor sinner here, believe on me and banish fear. Cease from your own works, bad or good, and wash your garments in my blood. You say, how can I wash my garments in his blood? As the Lord commands you to do it with his power and by his spirit constrains you. Think of Naaman. The prophets send that message out to him, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. I'm not going to do that, said Naaman. I could have washed in those rivers back in Syria. But God comes, the means of his servants. Says, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Oh, yes. How much rather when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. But what is the secret of it? My people shall be willing. In the day of my power. So the sinner tonight that feels that the great cause of their separation is their unwillingness, God says, I'll make them one in my hand. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now I'll make them one in mine hand. The washing away of that which separates. The putting away of the sin. Oh, that great atonement. Jesus dying in the sinner's place. Jesus in his sin-atoning sufferings, feelingly forsaken by his Father. Is he not in his soul's feelings put far off? If he's not, why did he cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, sin. He was made sin for his people who knew no sin. This preaching of the cross, it is, said the apostle, to them that perish, foolishness. But it is to them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Lord help you and me to stop our working. And the Lord cause you and me to start believing. And to maintain us in that path. To keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. What a breach there was by the sin of the thief. But God overcame it completely. The Blessed Spirit showed him the person of the man who was hanging on that cross between him and the next thief. He made him to realize the breach and the justness of the solemn condition he was in. We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Now that's the preaching of the atonement. This man hath done nothing amiss. A man that hath done nothing amiss, but he, by God, the Father, is made sin for his people. The sins that are separating that people from God, they become his by imputation. And he suffers for them. He bleeds for them. He dies for them. A perfect sacrifice. Nothing else. And sinner, whatever it is tonight that is separating you from God, God doesn't tell you to overcome some things and then come to him. God doesn't tell you to come so far towards him and then look to him. No. Blessed be his dear name. He says concerning his son, and highway shall be there. Where? In the place where dragons lay, the reeds and the rushes, in the wilderness. Sinner, wherever you are tonight, oh, may the Spirit fulfill his word, and an highway shall be there to make a poor sinner one with God. The highway is Christ. Did Christ only go so far to save his people? Did Christ only go so deep to save his people? No, he went the whole distance. Did he only give part of himself? No, he gave the whole of himself. Who gave himself for us. They should be one in mine hand. They should be forgiven. But you see, they should be one in mine hand because the Lord will draw them. Think of that word in the Song of Solomon. Until the day break. Ah, what a blessed day. And the shadows flee away when the believer, when the ransomed soul, and after the resurrection, the body united with it, they shall be with God. In the fullness of this text, one with him. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, she says, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. The Lord can come over the mountains. The mountains of Bether are the mountains that divide. And if you've got a mountain that divides, and you're trying to come over it, you You're just making the mountain bigger. You're putting yourself further away from God. And this is how God makes one. He teaches his people to plead with their beloved Christ. And sinner, if the Spirit preach Christ to you, he becomes your beloved. And you plead with him to come over the mountain. And he's like a roe young hart. A roe young hart. My dear friend, Christ didn't have to be dragged to Calvary. Blessed be his dear name. He went. Willingly. He is led as a lamb. In all that quietness, in all that meekness. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I hope I'm not preaching above you, child of God. I daren't preach any lower. I daren't preach any lower. Because in preaching Christ, you know, the Lord's servants, they don't preach above sinners. No. Because Christ came so low. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And I'll make them one in mine hand. The work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, is there one here tonight? And you say, why is it ministers preach Christ? And oh, I just cannot receive him. I cannot feel this virtue of his blood. I do not experience this oneness that the text speaks of here. They shall be one in mine hand. Sinner, what you need is the Holy Ghost. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Who can say that Jesus is the Lord? The sinner who has a grain of faith in their heart can say Jesus is the Lord. And who has put that grain of faith in their heart? The Holy Ghost. Lord, help me. She could say, Lord. They shall be one in mine hand. Oh, how the Spirit blessedly fulfills this sacred, vital office. Jesus said, he shall testify of me. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. They shall be one. The unity of the Spirit. That oneness then is the removal of the sin, but is also the giving of one heart. I'll give them one heart and one way. One with God. If the Spirit leads you to Calvary, one with him in that glorious atonement, one with him in those wonderful truths of the cross, one with him as the cross sets forth the awfulness of sin. A pardoned sinner hates sin more than they ever hated it before. this repentance that flows freely in Calvary's streams, repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ, one in mine hand. When the Lord brings Ephraim confessing, when the Lord brings Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, the oneness with God, then when that love of Christ is shed abroad in the heart, the oneness with God, the love of sin, the love of the world is conquered. One in mine hand. Then, as we come to a close this evening, this word as it is applied to the repair of the breaches between the Lord's people, the bringing together of those whom the Lord has appointed shall be together. And the Lord has certainly appointed that his people shall be together. They shall be one people. Jesus said in John 10, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." When the Lord brings in from the world his elect, they shall be one in mine hand. Oh, the number of times this has been fulfilled already, and it will yet be fulfilled as the Lord gathers in his elect. You see, in the Lord's hand they're one, because the same work is done in each heart. The same Christ is made the object of faith to each one. And when he is, then there's the oneness. When is it Christians all agree and let distinctions fall? My dear friend, why is it there are such divisions in the day in which we live? Christ is very little known. If you see two of the Lord's people and they're divided, Christ is not the cause of that division. The devil is. But remember the promise. For this cause the Son of God was manifested, that he should destroy the works of the devil. Moses, he tried to bring two together in his own strength. Two of his fellow men were fighting. And he tried to separate them. He tried to reconcile them. He couldn't. Who made thee a Lord or a judge over us? My dear friend, the Lord's people would never say that to Christ when he comes to bring them together. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And where sin has effected a division between two, only the Lord can bring them together. But he promises here in his hand, they shall be one. Oh, what a promise. What a blessing. What a power, what mercy, one in Christ. Of course, there's an interpretation of this we might speak of with regard to the bringing together of a man and a woman. They are made one flesh. in holy matrimony, they shall be one in mine hand. Blessed. Blessed uniting by the Lord himself. You know, if the Lord unites, there will be no final separation. There will not be husband and wife in heaven, but they will be there, the Lord's people. They shall be one in mine hand. And then we read in the days when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the day of Pentecost, and those days that followed, believers were added unto the church daily. The wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, in this chapter we read of the way the Lord will accomplish these things. Prophesy, he said to Ezekiel. Prophesy. And how was it done in the days we read of in the Acts of the Apostles? God enabled his apostles to prophesy. That is, to preach Christ. They preached of Christ. And the Holy Spirit so wrought in the hearts of those that were outside the church, outside of Christ, experimentally. He so wrought in their hearts, and they were added unto the church. The jailer, the night before, he'd been laying stripes on Paul and Silas. The next day, by the power of the gospel, he's washing those stripes. He's saved. And salvation unites a sinner to the body of the church, the body of Christ, because salvation makes a person a member of the body. A member of the body. Christ the head, and every one of his people made by the work of the Spirit manifestly a body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. And they shall be one in mine hand. You see, they're different personalities. Quite different personalities. They're different ages. But in Christ, they're one. In the Lord's hand, they're one. Because in the Lord's hand, they're not looking at what they are. Nor are they looking at what their fellows are in themselves. In the Lord's hand, it is Christ and Christ alone. And by the Holy Spirit, when a sinner is made one in God's hand, in God's hand, in Christ, they're hidden. When a person comes before the church to testify of what the Lord has done for them, they're not coming putting themselves forward, are they? Not if they come rightly. What is their profession as they come? Who is it of whom they speak? What do they say of themselves? I nothing am. And if there's more of this Spirit given unto us, oh, what unity there would be. My all is bound up in the Lamb. My wit and might are his. You see, this oneness, this that the Lord promises here, the sinner that knows the fulfillment of this, they're not saying, now I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They're not saying, now I think this and my opinion is that. No. There's no oneness in that, is there? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And they shall be one in mine hand.
And you say, there is increased strength. The strength of the church is wholly the strength of Christ. He is the strength of the individual member. When I'm weak, said Paul, then am I strong. But he's the strength of the church as a whole. This was a solemn thing about the judgment that was upon Israel and Judah. These tribes that were scattered, they were weakened, weren't they? They were weakened. One was pulling one way and one was pulling the other. Oh, how solemn that is when it is among the Lord's people. One pulling one way, one pulling the other. One saying, I'm of Paul, and another saying, I'm of Apollos. When they're all brought by this oneness to say, Jesus only. Jesus only, and only Jesus. The strength, the strength. When they're not contending for their opinion, they're contending for the faith once delivered to the saints, that is, the faith of Jesus Christ, the strength. A marriage cannot prosper, can it, when two are pulling opposite ways? The Lord overcome is necessary, even in a natural way, it's necessary in a marriage, it's necessary in any friendship. They shall be one in mine hand. Lastly, all the glory. God is glorified in the salvation of his church. And because it is in his hand, that is, it is in Christ, it is by his work, it is altogether of him. The oneness is in this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And they shall be one. It'll be fulfilled in the fullness of it when, as the apostle wrote, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, there's not a hint of discord in heaven, because there's no old sinful natures there. There's no sin there. God and the Lamb are the light and the glory of that place. They shall be one in mine hand. Oh, how different from that awful other place where forever there is division, where forever men and devils are cursing one another and God, railing upon one another. Why? Sin. Sin still prevails because it hasn't been put away. It hasn't been put away. But those favoured people who know the fulfilment of this promise, because sin is put away, they are one with God. And one with each other. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley next Tuesday evening, when there will be a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. Let us close with hymn 255. Happy the men that fear the Lord, they from the paths of sin depart, rejoice and tremble at his word, and hide it deep within their heart. 255.
Thank thee for the truth. Do bless thy word to us in causing it to remain on our spirit.
in our hearts, enable us to plead it. Oh Lord, bless us to receive the atonement. Forgive all amiss. Grant safe journeys to each one of us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.